This is weird. I'm usually the timekeeper. Anyways, I just wanted to thank Larry Lay and the people with from SoCal Speakers for the honor to be here speaking. My story is a long one, but I'm going to shorten it down for 10 minutes. It all started back in the woods. No, I'm just kidding. It all started in Brawley, California. That's where I grew up, you know. And back when I was young, my dad's side of the family were all alcoholics, okay? And that was just a way of life. That's the way I saw it, you know. You know, the abuse, all that stuff, it was just natural, man. I mean, that's, if you didn't get spanked or if you didn't get yelled at, you know, there was something wrong, you know. You know, and I was one of those kids, too. I wasn't really a good kid all the time, you know. So I always used to get yelled at a lot and reprimanded, you know. And I was the oldest, too, you know, and I had two sisters underneath me. And you know what? It's like whenever something went wrong, I got the brunt of it, you know. You know what? I'm not going to blame my dad or nothing, my parents or nothing like that. You know what? It made me who I am today, okay? And I wish a lot of more kids were getting the discipline like the way we used to get discipline, you know? I mean, this place would be a lot better, you know? And, when I was about 10 years old, my mom and dad used to do a lot of keg parties, okay? And me and my cousins used to be in the backyard while they were inside. My dad just played guitar, and they used to sing a lot and drink and till 4 in the morning. And anyways, me and my cousins were in the back, you know, at the keg. And we're just drinking up, you know, just getting all drunk, man. I mean, we got plastered. Then we go in early, you know, and then we're all tired. So we say, "Mom, we're going to go to bed." And everybody goes, "Wow, such good kids." You know, they're going to bed early. And you know what? We're in a room just giggling it up and having a good time. And, well, it progressed, you know. Like every time they had a cake party, we're always drinking, you know. You know, and then we moved up to San Diego in 69-70, and that's when there was a dry spell there for me, and until I got into high school. You know, when I got into high school, I was the biggest kid around, so the biggest freshman. So after football games, we'd go. I lived in Santee, and we used to go to the Jack in the Box after the games, and I'd buy the cases, and we'd all sit around and drink the cases there and eat hamburgers, you know, and to party. And that went on for a while, but I was like a weekend warrior for a while. And I always had dreams of working in the music business, and time went on, and I started working locally as a stagehand, and you know what goes with that, being a stagehand. So, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll. And, you know, we'd always have a keg in the back. Of course, we'd be drinking, you know, during the show or after the show. And whatever came our way also, that marching powder. And, you know, next thing you know, time went on, and finally went on my first tour, okay? I got introduced to, first of all, let me back up a little bit. I got introduced to the program in 84. I was really out of control of my parents. My dad said, "Hey, man, you got to do something. You got to go into a program." So they took me to a meeting, and I was a guy sitting way in the back with my hands folded like this and looking at everybody. "Man, look at all these guys, man. These guys are losers." You know, and here I am, I'm the biggest loser. And time went on, because I had another stretch right there, and I went up to Hollywood, and lived up there in Hollywood. I went on my first tour in 86, and when I went out on my first tour, I told myself I wasn't going to get loaded on the road, because that's my profession, you know, it's my career. and I got loaded, you know. And I was making really good money, you know. And I come home, and I didn't have any money when I come back. And my dad was always going, "Hey, what are you doing over there?" You know, "Well, I spent it," you know. And he goes, "Well, that's not the way to do your money." And that's how out of control I was, you know. So the last band I worked with the first bottom was a band called Little Caesar. And they were on Geffen Records. And we had gone to, this is a good little story. We had gone to Las Vegas on this toy run. And so we're in a hotel, one of those casinos. And they gave me my per diem. And I had like $200. I won $900. And I'm going, right on. It was my lucky day, you know. And then we did this. Like, these guys were all like biker looking guys. And anyways, one of the guitar players, he was in the program, okay? His name was Lauren. He was my sponsor, too. And we ended up at this tattoo shop. And he's in the corner doing a meeting with somebody in the program. The rest of us are all partying and having a good time. And I went over to him and I said, "Hey, I know what you guys are doing. This is AA, right?" He goes, "Yeah, well, you want to join us?" I go, "Nah. There's this little blonde over here I wanted to hook up with." And so you just go, "All right." You know, so anyways, I get all drunk, of course, on tequila and all of that stuff. And I go back to the hotel, you know, and I played all my money, thinking I'm on the same machine, you know. And I put it all back in there, you know. Bang, and I was like all bummed out, you know, because I have to go back to L.A., and the guitar player who I worked with, I was going to be his roommate. Okay, well, he found out about me not having no money, and he said, "You're not going to live with me, man." I go, "Why not?" He goes, "Because you're going to steal my guitars and pound and pawn them." I go, "No, I'm not. I'm a guitar tech, you know." And he goes, "No, you got to go, man." So here I go on the streets, and then finally Lauren, my sponsor, put me up in the bed. Anyways, there was these two girls that used to follow the band. They were called the Fabulous Twins. And they were like rent-a-groupies. And yeah, right, they have blonde wigs and all this stuff. And they had the little look, right? Anyways, what happened was Lauren asked them if I could sleep on the couch because we had a gig coming up. So I hooked up with them. And these girls were messed up, I mean, completely. All they did was eat pizza and drink light beer, you know, and there were cigarettes all over the place. And they used to give me the card to go get money, okay, out of the bank, okay. They said, "Get whatever you want, just get us like $500, and you can keep whatever you want to get out of there." And they had a little Alfa Romeo, brand new Alfa Romeo convertible with the license plate that said La Fabula Twins, okay? And here I am, this big Indian guy, you know, with my long hair, driving this convertible in Hollywood, okay? It says La Fabula Twins in the back. And it's Hollywood, you know? And so this is where my alcoholism got worse and my drug addiction got worse. And it just got on and on and on, you know. Finally, one of the girls had a birthday party, okay, at the Hilton on Sunset. And they rented out a whole floor. And anyways, they gave me control of the money box in the hotel, okay. And I was a doorman, and I was drinking tequila all night. And so I got to the point where I got really plastered, you know. I went down to the safety deposit box, took all the money out of there, jumped in the car, and went on a suicide mission to San Diego. I was going to kill myself, you know. I just had it. I wasn't going to, you know. So I was lost, and they couldn't find me, you know. I'm going on Mission Gorge. And it was on this like sports car, and I was going to go off the cliff in this sports car like James Dean. You know, I was going to have this really cool little ending, you know. And all of a sudden, this voice comes in the back of my head, you know. And it says, Alex, you're not going to do that. I go, why not? Because you got work to do. And I said, really? Okay. So I was crying, you know. And I go to my parents' house. And, of course, all the time, you know, running to parents. And so I go to my mom and dad's, and my dad looks at me and he goes, hey, you know what to do. I'm not going to do it for you. Okay, so I called up a program here in McAllister and put myself in a program, you know, and for 90 days. It was a live-in co-ed at the time, and it was pretty cool. And what happened was I ended up getting a year, and then back then on the penny saver, there was a personals in there, okay, and I was going to get into a relationship because they said you can't, you know, wait for a year and then you can get a relationship. Really? Okay. Thanks, man. Okay. Anyways, I'll just in a nutshell here. Today, the way it is today, is you know what? This time around. I'm coming out, you know, I have 6 years today, but every day I surrender, each day. I put myself up in the Freedom Ranch. I did 159 days. I got structure in my life. I surrender every day to my Creator, Grandfather. I do the steps. I have sponsees. I do service work, and I keep it simple today. You know, for you newcomers, if you don't have a sponsor, find a sponsor. You know, if you need real good help, because I was a knucklehead and I needed to go up somewhere and get structure, Freedom Ranch is a really cool place. And anyways, go into a program like that and find yourself a sponsor and get busy and start working. Thank you very much for having me up here.